2 Peter chapter 2. To look last week, it is the old time way too old. Should we be retiring the old time way? Should it be off in a rest home somewhere just to let it sort of be taken care of and walk around on this walker and drool and sort of look kind of confused? Or is the old time way still up to date? Is the old time way still right? I am of this opinion. If it used to be right, it still is. And if it used to be wrong, it still is. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now notice, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I mentioned last week several occasions in the Bible where it talks about the way. The most predominant on my mind right now is where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I guess he ought to know. But in this verse, verse 2, it talks about by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I hope you understand that the old time way is not the most popular thing in our day. We have seen what Peter said would happen take place in our lives. The old time way of truth, by the way. The old time way is spoken evil of. I've mentioned several things last week. I won't take time to deal with them, but I would like to mention them briefly. I mentioned first, the Spirit is working. What's going on around here? What's going on in the Bible Belt? What's going on in our country? What's going on in the world? If you look at the what we would call the old time way, you know, you got to admit something's going on. Something's going on. I believe one thing is the Spirit is working. God is moving, doing that He desires and said would happen. But then also the serpent is watching. The devil's watching. He ain't retired. He's doing all he can while he can. Then next, the sinner is wicked. We're living in a day when the world is ungodly and wicked and proud to be that way. Then the servant is weary. What's going on in our day? What's happening to the old time way? Those who have served God are getting weary because it seems like very little, if anything, is happening. And they teach and teach and sing and sing and preach and preach and give and give and go and witness and witness and seem like very little is happening. It wears you down after a while. We're seeing that. Then the next thing, the Savior is waiting. I said by that, the Lord's waiting for somebody in this late hour who will say, here am I, Lord. Use me. In spite of all that's going on, I want to serve you. In spite of the fact that many have forsaken you and many have fallen by the wayside, I want to be one that will walk on. Well, let me conclude my thought this morning by saying this. The saint is wise. My question has been, what in the world is going on? Look around you out there in the world. Look around in the church world. And more specifically, look in the old time way churches that believe the old time way. You'll have to realize something's taking place, something's happening, something quite alarming. So my question is this, what in the world do we do? If you still believe in the old time way, what do? If you don't think it's time to retire that old time way of believing and living, what do you do? I'll answer that question hopefully to some degree by saying the saint is wise. The word wisdom, now hear me, means having knowledge, knowing, understanding what's going on, realizing what's taking place. To be wise or to have wisdom means someone has knowledge, they recognize, they understand. But more than that, being wise or having wisdom means not only having knowledge, but using it correctly. We talk all the time. I hear it all the time. I say it. Well, the Lord said it was going to be this way. And He did. That's part of my message. But even though we have the knowledge, even though we are aware of the facts, are we using what we know? Are we serving God anyway? If we know He said it's going to be this way, it ought to encourage us to serve Him anyway. The saint is wise. What should the saint be doing? I mean by the word saint, the believer. The one who is saved. The one who has had a new birth experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who knows they're saved. Their sins have been forgiven by the blood of Calvary. What should the saint do? What should you do if you're saved? I've said this morning, the saint is wise. What do I mean by that? What does it mean to be wise? Well, the wise saint shouldn't be astonished. Did you hear what I read in verse 1? He said, there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies. He didn't say it might happen. He didn't say it's a good chance. He didn't say watch out because it may just happen. He said it will happen. And the fact that we're seeing it happen should not astonish us. We should not be surprised. We should not be taken back. Oh, we ought to be burdened. We ought to be concerned in looking around the world and seeing all that we see. Looking in the church world and seeing all that we see. It ought to alarm us. It ought to burden us. But it should not astonish us. It should not shock us. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. He said, you better know something. You better get it settled in your mind and in your heart. It's going to get bad. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. There's no question about whether it will happen. There's no doubt about if it's going to happen. He said it would, and by the way, it is. We're seeing it all around us, out there in the world and in the church world. Did you hear what that verse says? In the last times, perilous times shall come. That word perilous is the same Greek word that we find in Matthew 8:28. You know what's going on in Matthew 8:28? It's describing there a man possessed by demons. He lives in the graveyard. He wears no clothes. He screams in the night. And those verses tell us of that man, he is so fierce that nobody will even pass by where he stays. And the same word I just mentioned, it says of him, exceeding fierce. That word fierce is the same Greek word in 2 Timothy that's translated perilous. What he's trying to get us to see is the day these folks will live in will be like a madman out of his mind. And we're living in that day. We're seeing that now. And it should not surprise us. We should not be astonished. The wise saint knows what this Bible says. And the wise saint is not astonished when they see what the Bible says will happen. We're seeing it all around us. In verse 2 and 3, it talks about they'll be lovers of their own selves, unthankful, despisers of those that are good. You do know you're not loved too much if you believe the old time way. You do know that, don't you? We are the outscouring of our country. We are the far, far religious right on the newscast. Those who should not even be alive. Those who should not have any representation. Those who ought to keep their mouth shut and be still. That's the world we're living in. And it should not surprise us. It should not astonish us. There's another word in those verses where it says incontinent. That literally means no restraint. Nothing's wrong. Everything's all right. We're seeing it, folks. We're living in a world that He said we would live in when His coming is drawing nigh. We're living in the last of the last days. Biblically speaking, the last days began when Jesus came back the first time. But we're living in the last of the last days. And we should not be astonished. We should not be surprised when we see what He said would happen happening all around us. The wise saint is the one who is not astonished. If you're not getting it, here it is. We ought to expect it. We ought to expect to see and hear what we're seeing and hearing. It should not shock us. Hey, listen. Are you listening real good? Nothing can stop it from coming. Now, I believe still in little pockets of revival. I still believe that God will speak to individuals. I still think there's help for churches. But as far as the overall system, it's going down. And God said it would. And there ain't nothing going to stop it. And it should not surprise us when we see it happening. We're seeing it out there in the world. All kinds of ungodliness and sinfulness. And it said, it's okay. But it's not just out there the Lord warns us about. He warns us about in here. In the church world. Now in the world, we understand they don't like us old timers. He ain't never liked anything about religion. Surely hadn't liked anything about the gospel. And we ought to understand that world doesn't like us at all because we're kind of weird. But I go further, and so does the Bible. In the church world, we are becoming outcasts. The old-time way inside the church world has become a thing of reproach. When you folks gonna wake up? When you're going to get modern, when you're going to learn it's not so right to be so stringent in your beliefs, you're so dogmatic, you're so hard. Don't you know God wants you to love? It shouldn't surprise us that we're seeing that because He said it's coming. The wise saint should not be astonished. It's not only on the way, it's here. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. We're seeing it. The old time way used to be so predominant, so accepted, at least in the church world. It was the norm. It not only was the norm, it was the desired thing. It's not anymore. We are seeing firsthand the falling away that he said would come to pass. It shouldn't surprise us. It ought to burden us, but it shouldn't surprise us. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, listen, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. That word expressly means distinctly. It's like I've got an important message I want to get across to you. And I look in your eyeball and I say, I want you to hear what I'm saying. I make sure I pronounce my words distinctly and correctly, for the message is important. And I want to make sure I don't mess up the message. And I want to make sure you get the message. So I speak distinctly. I speak carefully. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit speaks distinctly, speaks expressly. Listen, what does he say? That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. He said, I want you to get this. I want you to hear me. Are you listening to me? He says, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to hear my every word. The closer his coming gets, you're going to find more and more people kicking out, changing, compromising, cooling off. Hey, it shouldn't surprise us because he said it's going to happen. We're seeing it. The wise saint is not astonished. They see this is exactly what God said it would be. Isaiah worded it like this. He talked about a small remnant, just a little group of believers. And I believe we can apply that to the New Testament because we are a small group, a small remnant. Is the old time way ready to be retired? No. But we need to realize it's small. If you believe this way, you are a number of small believers with a very small number. Yeah. Shouldn't surprise us. We should not be astonished. In fact, we need to realize old-fashioned believers are not going to expand and explode and fill this world. The opposite will happen. It's smaller and smaller, smaller and smaller. Well, that sort of seemed like what Jesus said. He said it's a narrow way, and few there be that find it. Now, don't you misunderstand me. I'm not saying old-fashioned independent believers are the only ones going to heaven. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying this. There is a fundamental fact that the truths of these scriptures do not change. And for the most part, the most of the church world has completely ignored that and just adapted to this world where they can fit in. And I don't believe the Lord's pleased with that. Smart, intelligent, wise, informed person understands what's going on. The saint that is wise should not be astonished. Look in verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Did you hear what he said? He said, the way of truth will be evil spoken of. That old bunch of weird people down there. Them bunch of fanatic people. That peculiar, weird bunch. He said, they will be evil spoken of. But did you notice what it says there? Many shall follow their pernicious ways. It won't be just a few people. It'll be many people. The predominant thought of the world and even the church world will be those old-fashioned people, those old dogmatic people, They'll look at us in reproach. And hear me. Many will follow their opinion of us. You know what that means? We are a minority. We are a small minority. He said, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a whole lot of people who think that old time way is worn out, old, needs to be retired. And it'll be the predominant thought where most people will think, those old weird people. And that's exactly how the world and much of the church world feels about us. So if we aren't careful, if we listen to their opinion, we will come to the point where we think, is it time to change? Are they right about us? Are we a little bit loose? They will almost make you ashamed to be what you are. Because, listen, most of them ain't too fond of us. But the wise saint, not only is the saint who is not astonished, not surprised, not shocked, but the wise saint in the last days is the saint who is not ashamed. You have no right. There is no reason for you to be ashamed of the old time way. I am not speaking of arrogance. I do not say we ought to rise up in pride because that's against the old time way. But I'm saying this. Whether the world understands us or the church world understands us, we have no reason to be ashamed. The old time way is still God's way. He said many people will follow their pernicious ways. Many of them will believe the lies of the average person. And most people have. They think we're a little weird. Well, I want to tell you something. They better be glad we're around. If it was not for the old time way, if it was not for the remnant, our country would already been gone down further than it is. I am convinced the Lord's having mercy on America because there is a little salt still left. There are still some believers living right and serving God. And like so many times in the Bible, we see God spared those who deserve judgment because there are still some believers. There's still a body. There's still a remnant. There's still a small group. Oh, they may be small, and they may not be appreciated, and they may be made fun of. But you should never be ashamed of being an old-timey, old-fashioned believer. It's still the right way. We should not be ashamed. We have no reason to hang our heads. If the world knew the truth, they'd be glad we're still around. Because in that verse where it talks about in a little or a small remnant, the next part of that verse says, or we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. He's saying, if it wasn't for that little bunch, that small remnant, I would have already judged them all like I did Sodom and Gomorrah. Tell you the truth, all the world ought to say, thank you, Christians, or you just keep on right, doing right. Thank you, old-fashioned people. You better keep living right. We shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be astonished. The wise saint should not be afraid. Verse 3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. He's talking about the world and how they treat us. With feigned words shall make merchandise of you. The world wants to eat you like their little lunch. They'd love for you to be gone. And so would the devil. And I'll be honest, in the world we're living in. If you even have, I say this carefully, I hope I won't offend anybody. If we have half of a brain, we'd have to realize this world is in a mess. I mean, this world is coming unglued. And the worst thing about it, so many times those who have control have less idea how to run things than the average Joe on the street. So I'll say this. Humanly speaking, it's a scary day. Politically, socially, medically, diseases that they can't cure. Financially, our world, our country especially, is just about to topple. If you look at it humanly speaking, it is scary, but the wise saint is not afraid. Because he understands and she understands in the middle of that turmoil, in the middle of that whirlwind, in the middle of all this trouble in this world and in the church world, there's a God who still is in control. I want to tell you something. You exclude God from the equation. I want to tell you something. Many of us should end our lives before sundown because it's scary. But you can't take God out of the equation. The God who created the universe, the God who spoke everything, the God who made the sun come up and made the birds chirp and fed the trees and fed the roses and all that's going to come out in the spring. And that same God right now is in control, holding things together. We as God's people have no reason to be afraid. Because he is God and he's in control. We can trust him no matter what. It says in that verse that their judgment, his picture is their judgment has already been sent out. It just hadn't gotten to them yet. But then it says in verse 9, the Lord knoweth, I want you to listen to this. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. He said, you're in the middle of a world coming unglued. But I want to remind you something. Your God knows how to deliver those who believe in him. And he gives a perfect example. So many times, if we aren't careful, we'll look around and fear will strike our hearts. But we need to realize God's still in control. And it hasn't surprised him. He said it would be this way. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be scared because we can trust him. It is a somber time. It is a scary time. But I want to tell you, for the believer, it's a safe time because he's still in charge. Talking this morning about a wise saint. And I've tried to mention that the wise saint is someone who is not astonished and not ashamed and not afraid. It says in verse 5, and spare not the old world, but save Noah. I'm so glad he put that verse in there right there. He reminds them and us. Do you remember Noah? Do you understand he lived in a world filled with sin? Do you understand with me? And hey, listen, there wasn't just a little handful. There were millions of people on earth, at least, when Noah lived. And it was so bad that God said, I'm going to wipe them all off the earth, except with Noah and his family. That's pretty bad. But it says this, God judged the world, but saved Noah. So can I say this? The wise saint is the one who is not astonished and is not ashamed and is not afraid and is not affected. Noah was burdened about his world. He preached to him 120 years, but he kept on serving God. Noah was burdened about the condition of his world. Sure he was, but he kept on going in spite of it all. And I want to tell you the answer to us. We're in a world messed up. We're in a church world falling apart. But it still behooves us as individuals to keep on walking like Noah did. To not let all that's going on affect us. Here's the point. We will either keep on walking and rise above it, or we will become a casualty of it and go down. Noah just kept on walking. He realized it was up to God, and he just kept on walking. And that's the answer for us. 2 Thessalonians 2:2 says, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled." We shouldn't be shaken in mind. We shouldn't be troubled. God said it would be this way, and it is. And he also said, "I'll give grace for those who will keep walking with me." Just like my friend Noah that walked in an evil day, he kept on walking. He kept on working, and he kept on worshiping. So here's my, I finally got into the message. Don't you look at your watch, I'll see you. How in the world can I keep from being astonished? How can I keep from being ashamed? How can I keep from being afraid? How can I keep all that's going on from affecting me? I got two or three things and I'll be done, maybe. Number one, look at me. I can't do a whole lot about the church world. I can't do anything about the world itself. I can't do a whole lot about you. All I could focus on, all you can focus on, is ourselves. Here's a good question. Are you saved? Are you right with God? I promise you those questions will become more and more important the closer we get to the Lord's return, which could be any moment. Look at yourself. Don't let that out there bother you. You keep serving God. Don't let what's happening in the church world and all that's going up and going down and all that's falling apart, don't let it get to you. You keep serving God. Look at yourself. Am I part of the help or the hindrance? Am I drawing it down? Is my life and my attitude drawing it down? Am I making matters worse by my life and my attitude and my words and the way I live? Am I drawing it down, or am I helping God's standard to be held high in these last days? Look at yourself. You see, we're wanting God to change all that. All that out there and all that in the church and all that out there, all that means anything other than me. And we're wanting God to change all of that and not ask me to change anything about this. And it may just be that God has let all of that get so bad to make me see that this needs changing. And until I change this, I can't expect anything to change. Again, the whole world system, no matter what we do, it's going to go down. But I promise you, there's a person you can help. There's a church you can help. There's a class you can help. God can use us all in some ways. Look at yourself. Is your life contributing to the health of the old time way or the hindrance of it? Look at yourself. Number two, and I want to tell you, you better get this. Develop a strong spiritual lifestyle by daily devotions with the Lord. I promise you, you've heard that so much you think, I wish you'd quit telling us that. You know why I keep telling us? Because we're not, and we need to, or we are, and we better not quit. I want to tell you something. You and I cannot make it in this world, especially. We will be brought down. We will be so depressed, so unconcerned, so hard, so disconnected, until we learn how to spend time with God every single day. Get in this book slowly. Read. Say, God, speak to me today. Get on your face if you have to. Sit in the chair and you talk to your God. I'm telling you, we will not make it without a daily devotion with the Lord. And if you don't have that, you're going to go down, or you already have. And if you do have that, that's the one thing, more than anything else, the devil wants to take from your life. He'll do anything he can to stop us. Number one, look at yourself. Number two, develop a solid spiritual life. Number three, don't worry about the small things. If we would analyze what we get upset about and really look at what bothers us, if we were honest, we'd say, huh? Most of what bothers us today is not the big things, but the little things. I'm talking about me too. Such insignificant things bother us. And you know why? Because the devil wants that to happen. He's always been an expert at doing that. He'll point to little things that do not matter if you analyze what it really is and drive us baggy, worry us, threaten us, make us afraid, make us mad. And if you analyze it, it doesn't matter one bit. The thing that's bothering us so much, don't fret the little things. The next thing, don't give in to self-pity. Things may have not happened the way you want it to. And if it has, will you please tell me your secret? But self-pity is a disease. Self-pity is one of the devil's favorite tools to get us feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes, be honest, we're getting what we deserve. Sometimes we're getting something we don't deserve. But no matter what the reason, self-pity will devour us. Self-pity will take us down, feeling sorry for ourselves. Then the next thing, be totally dependent on the Lord. We preachers have preached that forever. But I want to tell you something, we need it more now than ever. To totally depend on the Lord, we need it now more than ever. Because we're in a time now when the world's unglued and the devil's having a fit and the church world, most of them don't care, and we all, our own selves are battling with things like all that, and there's a time when we need to completely and totally depend on the Lord no matter what. We need His wisdom, we need His strength, we need His help. The last thing, obey the Lord completely. That's where we get stopped. Every morning we ought to get up and say, Lord, this is your day. Just for the day. Help me to listen to you. Help me to obey you. Listen to the Lord. Obey Him completely. Only He can help us. Only He has the answer. Only He can give us the strength we need. Only He can help us in the day we're living. And if we don't obey Him, we're forfeiting the help He has. And when we don't get that help, we can't blame Him. We're not a big bunch, not just this church, but the old-time way. But I thought about this. Gideon only had 300. Jesus only had 11 after the fake showed his colors. The day of Pentecost was only 120 people. And those small, almost numbers you could overlook, 300 against over 100,000, 11 against the world, 120 with a new world and a new church. But I want to tell you something. Those small numbers rocked their world. And I'm not suggesting for a second we'll rock the world, but if we'll walk with God, we might rock our world, your family, this church, the Bible Belt. We're in a time we can't get out of. You know what I think? In some ways it's so scary, but in some ways I think this. It's finally happening. It's really happening. He said it's going to get this way right before he comes, and I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it. It's hard. It's bad. It can be scary, but it's happening. Thank the Lord, it's almost over. Going home time's just about here, and I want to be faithful to the end. That's what the small remnant is. Somebody who's faithful in spite of. I believe there's people here this morning need to be saved. I believe there's people, I'm as honest as I can be. I believe there's people sitting in this room. Your lifestyle's grieving God. What you're doing has angered the Holy God. And to this point, he hadn't smitten you. But if you don't wake up, it's coming. I believe there's some here, like many of us, you want to walk right, but you're just worn out. You're just worn down. I'm going to tell you, there's help. And I want to ask us all, if we'll listen to the Lord in these next few minutes, please be sensitive to come and get help. If you cannot kneel, there's a front pew, or you sit back in your pew. Get a hold of the Lord. A small remnant that he wants to work through. Why not me? Why not you? Why not? He's still waiting. He's still looking. Oh, may we say, here I am, Lord. Let's stand together. Many of you will come. Please mind the Lord. Father, please speak to our hearts. Oh, God, please touch us. Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to be right. Somebody needs strength. Somebody needs courage. Somebody needs some information. Somebody just needs help. Lord, please help them come. Draw them, Lord, and give them the help they need. In Jesus' name, amen.